But hey, how you guys doing today? Doing good? I'm very thankful that Pastor Brooks is letting me have a chance to talk here today with you guys. I usually throw out candy to the kids. I thought I'd go a healthier route with you guys today. Oh, who wants a bruised apple? Someone wants a bruised apple? All right, take a bruised apple. Oh, I won't throw everything. Who wants a banana? All right. Anybody want a peach? Here's a peach for you. Here's a banana for you. Anybody want orange? Oh, nice catch. Anybody in the balcony want a grapefruit? I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. An apple? This one's not bruised. Would you like a bite of the apple? Okay. Who wants a grapefruit? I got a big grapefruit here. All the way. What's that? I don't want to throw it in the balcony. I'll hit. I'll break the glass. We'll be fired. All those kind of things. So anyways, I got two bananas left, and then we got to get rolling here. There's a banana here. One more banana, banana, banana. Rebecca, pass it down to Rebecca. They're okay. I'm going to keep this bowl here. I got an illustration I'm going to use here that I shared with our youth about 5 years ago at a retreat, and the point worked for today. So I thought I'll save this one. I'll use it today. But like I said, he's allowed me to speak today. Don't take a point off because I'm not wearing a suit. But we'll, what I want to share is you can tell we're going to talk a little bit about some fruit. And a lot of times when we hear about fruit in the Word of God, it really relates back to a lot of times to our lives. And how we live our lives out usually will then show us whether or not what kind of fruit we're producing in our lives, correct? Has anyone ever heard about that before in here? It talks all through Scripture about it and about that who we are and how we live. If we choose the Lord or we choose the flesh nature, we'll bear fruit one way or the other. I got a couple of Scriptures here that I want to share with you. We'll start in the book of Matthew, and it says this. It says, "By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." You will recognize them by what kind of fruit they're producing in their lives. And then it goes on, talks about this, about when we walk in the Spirit, there is a fruit that we get from the Spirit that is just loaded with a lot of good stuff. And here's what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." I'm reading it my way. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you know those nine fruits of the Spirit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, this is what should be coming out of our lives. If I back it up a little bit, because I want to back it up, because in the Bible, it also, let me ask you this before I get into that. Who has ever gone to the grocery store before and bought fruit? Raise your hand. Okay, let me ask you, when you go up and say, "Oh, look at the apples." Reel the cart right up. Dumb in. A banana. I'll just take some bananas. Throw it in your cart. Who does it that way? What do you do when you go up to a pile of bananas or a pile of apples? What do you do? You're like, huh. Why? Because if you get the wrong one, it's like the one I dropped on the ground four times. It's like it's got bruises on it. It's not healthy. It's not going to taste is the same. It's like who wants to peel a banana back and it's all like, ugh. It's those kind of things. And so there's this bad fruit that can come also in our lives. And in Galatians, if we back it up to verse 16, I'll go back into the fruit of the Spirit in a minute. But let's read this. It says in verse 16 of Galatians 5, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious." So here's some things of the flesh. When you walk in the flesh, this is what happens. Here's some of the examples of fruit that happens to it. There's sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we see a contrast of walking in the flesh, what kind of fruit that bears, and walking in the Spirit. I want to break down just quickly. I want to go back to this part about walking in the flesh, because I think we too quickly brush through those and we think, yep, the unbeliever, that's them, that's where they walk. But here it's, you know, it's very clear. Here this passage shows that we know who the Spirit is. We know about the Spirit of God. And it's saying, be careful, because that's where you need to continually walk, because the flesh is always at war with you. So it's talking to us here at this church, it's talking to every one of us, that this can creep up at any given time. And I really like to look at this from time to time and say, okay, really, where's my heart at? Because some of these things are small things. It's really easy to pick out the big things that are wrong, right? It's the little things. Let me break down, I wrote down immorality. You know, we got our sexual immorality, but what about our moral conduct and our moral character and the impurities in our life? It goes on to say sensuality, meaning to seeking things to gratify ourselves. What about idolatry? You know, idolatry is not about having Buddha sitting on your shelf and you bow to him. Idolatry is anything that you put before the Lord. Where's your heart at today of what's really the focus of your life? Sorcery, enmities. Enmities meaning hatred or hostility. Do you hate anyone? I hate them. I can't stand them. I just don't like them when they're around me. Ugh. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. I'm driving down 275. It's like, someone cuts you off. The kids just want to challenge you. The person at work, whatever it is, you just get these fits of rage want to come over you. You don't like how things are going. Disputes, dissensions, meaning quarreling, bringing discord with those around you. Factions. Factions is a big one. I thought about it. It's like, man, this is basically saying cliques. How unfortunate in the body of Christ that we could have cliques among ourselves. The thing is, it's like, well, they're not like us. It's okay if they're different. We don't have to hang out with them. They're in that part over here, but we're our own little group. It's okay if people are different, but, you know, we don't need, yeah, you know, it's a, yeah, they think they're more holy. Okay, cool, they're over there. And we begin to form our groups. We think because we're with other believers, it's okay. But we're called to be one body. And in unity, the enemy loves it when we begin to break off in our own little groups, because then we're easily divided. And so this list goes on, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things alike. And it's to challenge us to realize, to beware of bad fruit that could come in our lives. And talking about fruit, what is really fruit? Fruit is really the result of something that grows on a tree or a vine or a bush or something like that. And fruit is really the outward appearance of life. But we really know whatever grows on a tree is really dependent on the life that lives inside the tree. That's really where the life source is for that tree, is what you'll see on the outside of it. If it is nothing but death inside of it, you're not going to see the fruit. But if it is full of life and planted strong and it's taken care of, it's going to produce a lot of fruit. So the question is for us is, what is our life source? And who we are as being a believer, or as we walk our daily life out, where do we get our source of life from? And a great judge of that will be, what is the outward fruit in our lives? What are we producing? Because it'll be a good sign to tell us where we're at. Because guess what? If a fruit tree quits producing fruit, it's pretty much lost its purpose. Because a fruit tree is there to produce fruit. Well, when you plant something, you got to take care of it, right? I hate the gardening. I hate the flowers. If I could have a gravel front yard, I would, because I hate mowing the lawn. It's horrible, I know, but my house is the worst on the street, because I just like, just throw wood chips everywhere and call it good. And it's hard to take it because, you know, weeds grow up and these stupid squirrels want to come and eat things and do stuff and just, and kids and all sorts of stuff happens to it. And I'm like, but there's a lot of stuff that it has to weather. In our own lives, there's a lot of stuff we have to weather, because we have an enemy that's clearly talked about in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to do nothing more than to get you to quit producing fruit. But here's the thing. He doesn't care if you stay looking like a fruit tree, as long as you've quit moving forward. And that's one of the biggest deceptions that we deal with. We think we look okay. I am a fruit tree. I'm a Christian. I do good things. Oh, I'm okay. And he's like, okay, cool, keep believing that, because really inside you're dead because there's no fruit coming out. But Jesus says, you know, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He's really one to bring forth life to us. He's really the one that wants to change the sap within us, inside our tree. He's the one who wants to be the life source, the one who empowers us, who brings us freedom in our lives. And I want to tell a story today, if I could. I'm going to quickly go through it just for time's sake here. But in the book of Mark, chapter 11, there's a short story there that is talked about in Jesus comes encounter with a tree. It's only a few verses here. Let's read this together in 11, verse 12. It says, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say this. And then if I move on to verse 20, it says, in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. A fig tree goes up to it, and it's like, why did Jesus go up to it? It even says in here that it wasn't the season for figs. So I looked at this, and you know, the story of figs and stuff. I'm like, what's the point of this story in here? Other than Jesus did a cool miracle, maybe. And I thought, you know, but look, a fig tree, you know, they say a fig tree grows up to like 15 feet tall when it's cultivated right. There's different types of fig trees from what I could see, how they look and stuff. And the ones that they talked about that were around where he was at in his region was the fact that they would have these large leaves on them, and they were good for providing shade. They'd provide shade for people, and they were always alongside the roads, and people could walk, and they could go up there, and there was figs always growing on them. And the thing was, is the figs would grow for 10 months out of the year. And they would weigh the branches down. They would all branches kind of hover, you know, and kind of give you the opportunity for shade underneath it. And they would grow underneath these leaves. And there's 2 months out of the year, April and May, where they wouldn't have figs on them. Well, that's the time of year we're referring to right here, that Jesus is going and he sees that there's no figs growing. I'm just like, Jesus, how foolish of you to go and see if there's fruit. Well, here's the thing about this. If you look at it, it says, though, that during those 2 months, it's what it's called it in the leafing process. It's the refreshing process for the fig tree. And what it does, it begins to grow its all of its new leaves, and that shows that it's growing these new leaves that in June it's about to produce figs. But what it does for those 2 months is it produces this little fruity bud that grows on the tree where the fig's going to be, and then in June they fall off and the figs come. So people can walk down the road, and during those 2 months they could still go and they could get a little snack, and they could pick them off and eat them because they're not stealing them because they're going to fall off the ground. Nobody wanted those, but they would eat those and stuff. And that's really when I realized that's what Jesus was looking for. He knew it's, that's why it says it was in leaf. And it says from a distance they saw it. They saw the fresh leaves going. Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to go get myself some of this fruit, some of this first fruit. And I'm like, there's a purpose behind this. I'm like, what is it really about this passage that is significant? Because I'm like, Jesus, you know, he doesn't go and perform a miracle just for the fun of it to say, hey, look, I'm a magician. Ta-da! And he cursed it, and look, it withered. You know, anytime Jesus did any kind of thing of significance, spiritual significance, supernatural acts, it had a purpose behind it. He had a purpose behind it. And so I started looking in on Thursday. I realized, I'm like, let me look in the Old Testament a little bit. And I began to realize that in the Old Testament, that God uses the fig tree several times to be a symbol to represent his people and the people of Israel. Several times, and about how their life is being portrayed before him and how he looks upon them. He uses it. And I'm going to just share a couple for you today. In Hosea 9, verse 10 and verse 16, I'm going to jump to it. It says, when I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the early fruit on the fig tree. There's that early fruit again. But when they came to Baal Peor, they consecrated themselves to that shameful idol and became as vile as the thing they loved. Ephraim is blighted. Their root is withered. They yield no fruit. Even if they bear children, I will slay their cherished offspring. Here we see him talking about your ancestors, Israel. It was like seeing this early fruit on the fig tree, full of life and growth. Yet now you've shamefully put yourself before idols and everything else, and now you have withered away and are bearing no fruit. Then in Micah, he brings it up again in verse 7. It says, in chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, it says, "What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The faithful have been swept from the land. Not one upright person remains. Everyone lies in wait to shed blood. They hunt each other with nets." Once again, there is no fruit, none of these early figs. And he's relating it to the faithfulness. The faithful people have been swept away. Christ here in this story came searching for what the Old Testament says that God searched after. Basically an indication that Israel was fruitful and wasn't dry and barren. And yet instead of finding the early figs, which would have demonstrated that Israel was spiritually alive, instead God found nothing in the Old Testament passages there. And at the same time, Jesus came upon this tree and he looks and it's the same thing of like, Israel, have you spiritually awakened yet? No, but their Savior was coming. As we find a few chapters later, Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. The New Testament refers to this also when it says in Luke 13, "Then he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?' 'Sir,' the man replied, 'leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.'" So, relates a lot to us and the fruit in our lives. And are we, what is found upon our tree? What is found in us? What is it that God sees with us? Are we spiritually dried up? Or are we full of life by his Spirit? In looking at this short story of this fig tree, I thought of a couple things. One of the things I thought of is the very beginning, and I want to share them with you because it spoke to me, and I want to see if it speaks to any of you today, is that it starts off by saying that Jesus was what? Why did he go to the tree? He was what? Hungry. Anyone ever been hungry before? We've all been hungry before. It's like you get hungry, you know, I hate going to parties and you show up and all they have are like pretzels, and you're like, oops, I should have ate dinner, or you're sitting in church and the pastor talks too long. And you're waiting for the pot roast at home, you know, whatever it is. You get hungry at times, right? And here it is Jesus is hungry. And we have so easy, we can be driving down the road anytime nowadays, like, hey, I'm hungry. Oh, I'll just stop at a McDonald's. Oh, I'll just go through the drive-thru over here. Oh, I can eat anytime. Well, Jesus is walking down the road and he goes, hey, look, the drive-thru is open. It's in Leaf. Let's go get ourselves a Super Value meal here. So he goes up to it and he goes to the window and guess what? He opens the window and it's closed. There's nothing there. Oh, we have no food. And I thought about that. I'm like, man. What spoke to my spirit was the Holy Spirit challenged me and says, how many times have I come to you for a relationship with you, to talk to you, to love on you, and you have not been there? That I've chosen to be too busy, I've chosen to be too distracted with my own things, my own pleasures, that when the Lord comes to me, am I there ready to give anything back, to give glory to his name? Because he's going to come to each and every one of us. He wants relationship with us. The question is, are we open for it? And the story goes on that Jesus was hungry, and so he comes up the tree, you know, and he looks, he doesn't see it, and so what does he do? You know, he ends up cursing the tree. And it withers away. The thing is, you know, he's looking, he's like, hey, Peter, let me get on your shoulders, let me look up here. Hey, John, look under there. Check over there. They're checking out the thing. They don't see nothing. And the thing that's interesting about it is that it had the leaves, it should have had the buds. So basically, this tree was playing phony on him. This tree was giving the appearance of life, yet it bore no fruit. And the thing is Jesus knew, because the thing is that if those little buds don't form on the tree, you know that there's no figs are going to come for that next harvest. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus is like, you have no life in you. You're not serving your purpose. You're done. And I thought about that. I'm like, man, how many times do I give a false impression of life? How often do we give a false impression of life? How often do we go, look at me. I'm so fruitful. But it's just an outward shell of really what's the life that's inside is the question we have to ask ourselves. Because we can do good things. We can go to church. Remember, Galatians talking to believers too. It's not just, don't think it's just someone else. It's everybody, that we can choose to walk out this fleshly nature, or we can choose to have so much more freedom and blessing in our lives by walking in the Spirit and having real fruit grow in us. I know in my life, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm not going to go through all my testimony, but just share with you real quickly is that I went through things in my life, and in my life, I'm doing all these things for God, but at the same time, I got into a relationship. It became sexual. And then from being sexual with that relationship fell apart. I went into depression. I fell into depression in my late high school years, and it led into me out of high school. I chose not to go to Bible college. I was like, why? What's the point? I began to just deal with all these issues. Alcohol became a part of my life. I began to hang around with bad people, bad crowds. And I said, I don't care. I was so angry inside. That list that you saw in Galatians of the flesh, that was me. But at the same time, what's interesting is I go to church on Sunday morning. You know what I did? I played the drums on Sunday morning for the worship team. And then at Sunday night, I would go to the youth group. And I was a leader in the youth group. And then twice a month, we had a drama team. We painted our faces in black and white, and we were mimes and stuff, and we did these little street dramas. And we'd see people getting saved from so much stuff, and I'm like, I'm right where they're at. But I got myself to believe that I was bearing fruit. I got myself to think, outwardly I look okay, but it's really what's inwardly was the question I needed to be asking myself. All this thing is, stuff is going on, but you know what? It means nothing, because it comes down to really what is going on in the inwardmost being of our lives, because that's what matters at the final day of judgment, is whether or not, where are we going to spend eternity? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, because there came a point for me that I had to really say, God, I'm going to give it all and surrender it all to you. I can't try to change it anymore outwardly. I need you to change me from the inside out, to completely turn me around. And I'm asking you today where you're at, because maybe you're in here today and you've never one time in your life have really ever said, God, I want to commit myself to you. Because guess what? You know what? All of us are the same. We've all messed up. Romans 3:23 says that, for all have sinned and what? Fallen short. Haven't we? We've all messed up. We've all bore bad fruit before. But it's the thing of whether or not we go on and says, you know, it's either if we walk in the flesh nature, guess what we get? It says the wages of sin is death. We get there's a price to pay for living that way. It's eternal death. But there's a free gift, and that gift is eternal life. It depends on if we choose to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. It goes on in Romans, says, for God shows his love for us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Each and every one of us. You see, right there is the answer, is the fact that it's interesting, when we walk in the flesh, we have to pay that price. But if we walk and choose Christ, we don't have to pay the price. He paid it for us already. And it was a free gift. It's like me throwing out the fruit to you. Here, it's free. Take it. All you got to do is take it and catch it and want it. That's what a relationship is like with our Heavenly Father, who sent his Son. All it says that we need to do is we need to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and then you'll be saved. Now, I want to share a quick thought with you. There's a friend of mine who's, her name, Rosie. When I was growing up, I was about 17 years old, and she was like 15, and she hung out with me, and guess what? She went to youth group, part of all the stuff. Same style, same life she was living. She was doing the same thing as I was doing. It's like, look, I'm okay on the outside, yet inwardly, I had no life, and I put a fakeness of fruit on my life. And she was so angry inside with things going on in her family. She just hated stuff, and she would bad talk people all the time, yet she'd be like, hallelujah, and she'd worship, but she'd turn around and speak death about people. Well, one day, Rosie got it straight way quicker than I did, and the fact that one day she finally says, enough's enough. If I can believe on God, and I know that he can change me, then God changed me. she had some good things going on in her life. The thing is, we all can find good things going on in our life, but really, if we look at her, we're really satisfied with where our future's going. And she wasn't satisfied. She knew that she needed to make a change. So she got down on her knees and she asked Jesus to come into her life. She confessed her sins, and everything changed for her. Now, it was real fruit that was growing on her, in her life. 2 days later, after Rosie had done that, she's driving in a car with one of her other friends, and she's heading off to hang out with some other friends, and she's putting her makeup on. And anyone ever remember the old Geo Trackers? These old Geo Trackers had, like, the window sills were, like, really low. It was like you could rest your leg on it, not your arm, because it was so down here. These big, huge windows, and they're real boxy things. So she's leaning over here, and she's putting her makeup on. And as they're putting her makeup on, they drive through an intersection. A guy runs a red light and hits the driver's side of the car, and it flips the tracker. Unfortunately, about 30 seconds earlier, Rosie had unbuckled her seatbelt so she could lean down out the window and put her makeup on in the window or in the mirror. When they were hit on the side, she flew from the car, the tracker landing on top of her, sliding 20, 30 feet across the intersection. At 15 years old, her life was taken just like that. I remember going to the funeral home, and they had special viewing just for the family, and they asked me to come back and be a part of it. So it was like a brother tour, and I go in there, and it was a closed casket for everyone else. And went there, and I'm like, this doesn't even look like Rosie. Due to the trauma that took place. And I look back on that. It was a very hard time in my life. If I look back on it, I think now I'm like, you know what? Rosie lay there and she was now dead in her physical being, but Rosie was alive in her spirit. 2 days earlier, Rosie was alive in her physical being, but she was dead in her spirit. No future of an eternity with God, but she was going down the wrong path, and yet she chose the right path. And now she's experiencing ultimate freedom. And I don't know where you're at today, because I want to talk specifically to those of you that maybe said you've never really made this commitment before in your life. You've never really given it all to God, but you know what? You never know when things are going to change. 15 years old, 2 days later, everything changed. You may know due to where your own health is or where things are at, but you could go outside and drive home and things could totally change for you. The question is, what is living on the inside of you? What have you allowed God to clean up and take care of? What have you committed to Him? Hopefully you've given it all to Him. You've said, I want you to be the center of my life. God, I accept this free gift of your Son because I don't want to be spiritually dead anymore. I want to be alive and free. Because deep down inside you know that there's a little bit of you that says, I want something else. I want more hope. But you're just holding on so strong. You're like, but everybody's seen this wonderful fruit in my life all the time. And you're too prideful to say, no, it's not real. It's part of some good things I've done, but I want to let it go. And I want to be free. And I want God to really change me from the inside out. And I want to have this eternal life in Christ. If we could all just close our eyes for a second here, I want to ask, because I want to pray with you, and I don't want you to feel embarrassed. I'm just going to ask you, you're just going to, just to raise a hand to me to say, Pastor, you're right. I really do want to make this first-time commitment. I want to change the atmosphere that I'm living. I want to change it. I've gone for too long, and death could be at my doorstep at any moment. And I want to know to have the peace in my life that I'll be okay. If that's you today, I want you just to lift your hand. You're lifting your hand, not just to me. You're lifting it to God, saying, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm holding it up to you. I'm confessing with my mouth right now that you're Lord. If you're in this room, just raise your hand and let me see it. In the balcony or in the back. Yes, I see your hand in the back. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Yes, raise your hand. Just let me see it because I want to be able to think of you and I pray here. In the balcony, I see your hand. Anyone else? It could slip by so quickly. But here's the chance that God says, I love you and I want relationship with you. There's about four hands that were raised. And I'm going to just pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask everyone to pray it with you. so you don't feel awkward, but I want you to verbally with your mouth speak this out loud. Yes, I see another hand. I want you to verbally speak this out because you are making a confession of your own to say, I want Jesus to be the center of my life. I want things to be changed. And I want you to pray it with me. So everyone together say, Dear Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I am thankful that I don't have to live this life alone. That you are there to help me, to guide me, to set me free. Please come into my life and forgive me of all the wrong I've done. And set me free today. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Let's give a hand for those five hands that raised. Now, if you raised your hand, I want you to connect with someone. Maybe someone brought you, or maybe one of us pastors, or one of our wives, or someone. Tell them about it, because we want to be able to pray with you. We want to be able to help give you the tools to be successful, because remember, I said, there's someone else that says, oh, that ain't going to happen. He wants to come, and he wants to destroy. He wants you to think nothing changed, and we want to help you through it. But let me go on, and I'm going to close right now. I want to share one more thing is the fruit, remember, in your life for the rest of us, for all of us. Some of us have gone too long holding on to fruit that maybe is just really a false representation of life. I know I did that for many years. But really deep down, maybe you're holding on to a bitterness. Maybe you're holding on to anger and resentment towards somebody. Maybe your tongue has continued to slander and cut down other people one too many times. Maybe you haven't forgiven, you haven't let go. Maybe the things you lust for, maybe you've viewed the things you know you shouldn't have viewed. You've thought in your heart and your mind about things you shouldn't have done. And you sit here today and you're saying, oh, it's true. If God were to look inside your heart today, what is he going to find? The Word of God says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So you're only putting this fruit out here is really you're only letting man see this outward appearance. But the question is, what's going on inside? Because all of us are going to have a day where we're going to be face to face with God. And we're going to say, God, look, I'm okay. But the question is he's going to take a hold of that and he's going to grab that fruit and he's going to begin to tear it open. And when he tears it open, what's he going to find inside? What's he going to find inside? Because outwardly it looked like fresh fruit. But inwardly, it was empty. We can trick man, but God's going to look deep within us. And the question is where is your heart at today? What is it that you need to ask him to forgive you and to heal you of? Because he wants all of us. We've maybe too long have hid something over here, compartmentalized over here. But it's time to give it all to him. You see, Jesus, when he looked at the tree and he cursed it, what did he do? It says he walked away. He left. You see, Jesus saw it's not going to serve its purpose anymore. He didn't even want to be in the atmosphere of it anymore. He just left it. Some of you got stuff going on in your lives and you're wondering, why can't I get away from it? Because you're not leaving behind what is dead. You've been set free under the blood of Christ. Therefore, let it go, leave it there dead, and move on. And you can do that today. Heavenly Father, I just pray for us today, Lord, for each and every one of us, that Father, by your power, that you would just reveal to us in our innermost being, what is it that is empty in our lives? Maybe we have put on a facade for too long. Maybe we are a part of something in church. We do ministry, but Father, really, what's the fruit within us, Father? What is it, the life source that we're using, Father? Are we really allowing your life to be the center focus of us? When you come to us, are we wanting relationship with you? Or Father, are we full of rage inside? Unforgiveness, slander, sexual immorality, drunkenness, Father. What is it for us? Reveal it to your people today that, Lord, because you just want us to be holy as you are holy. You want to change us from the inside out. I want to ask, while your eyes are closed, is there anyone in here who just wants to say, Pastor Jason, pray for me? And really, it's kind of a picture of you really holding up your fruit today. When you raise your hand, it's like you're holding up your fruit saying, God, I give it to you. I give it to you. Yes, this one is hollow. Tear it open and get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's dead to me. I'm done with it. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up and you're making the proclamation to God that says, I don't want to slander people anymore. I don't want to lie anymore. I don't want to cheat anymore. I don't want this addiction in my life anymore. Raise your hand right now. Go ahead. I've seen hands already going up. You are saying that you want to make it real today. I see hands all over this place, upstairs in the balcony, down here. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. A couple dozen of them. Father, I just pray that you would work in their hearts and the rest of us too. Father, I know you're revealing stuff to all of us. And we're just going to handle it. Father, we're going to work through it. And Lord, whether it's at home or it's now, I just pray that you would just equip us by your Spirit. Father, that Lord, we would let it go and drop it. And that we would know we are forgiven. We are not condemned anymore. We are under Christ. Therefore, there's no condemnation. Father, you've convicted us. Now we've moved on. That we can release it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, I just want to say this, is that if you know of something in your life, I just wrote down a couple thoughts here after the point, just to say, repent of it. Let it go like we just did today. If you think of something in the coming days, just repent of it, let go. And maybe for some of us, I wrote down forgive. Maybe we need to go and we need to forgive others too. Because a lot of times, it's their fault. But while that's not forgiving, we're holding ourselves back. We're not holding them back. Forgive so you can release it and move forward. The third thing is get connected. If you have something that you're going through and you say, this is where I'm at, but I want life in me. We are a body of believers that want to help one another, and hopefully we want to help one another. Go and find someone and get connected that they can help you walk through the things that you're facing so you don't continually go back to it. Get out of this atmosphere that is unhealthy and get into one that will bear fruit for you. So thank you for opening your hearts to the Holy Spirit today. Lord, bless us today as we leave. Let us be fruit bearers in all that we do, and let us walk by your Spirit and not in the flesh. In your name we pray. Let's just sing this for a second here. You're dismissed to go if you want to go get your children, but if you'd like to stay, just let's sing this for a second here together if we could.